Welcome everybody to this special edition podcast where we're going to be talking about our work focused on young people in and leaving care who are parents. For those of you who haven't come across our work before, my name is Louise Roberts. I'm a lecturer in social work at Cardiff University, and I'm also part of Cascade, the Children's Social Care Research and Development Centre. Between 2014 and 2019, I led a research project looking at what happens when young people in and leaving care become parents. It's quite a challenge to summarise the findings of a five-year study in just a few sentences, but I would say that the research highlighted the disadvantaged position of care experienced parents, with young people often impacted by stigma, discrimination and limited support. While some parents do really well in spite of numerous challenges and adversities, the research showed concerning levels of statutory social work intervention and family separation.
Thanks, Louise. And my name is Rachel Vaughan, and I'm the Engagement Manager for Children and Young People at Cascade. Following on from Louise's project, we wanted to raise awareness of the research and really make a positive change. So with Dawn Manet, an experienced researcher and reader at Cardiff University, we were awarded an ESRC impact funding. And since January of this year, we've been working on co-developing a best practice charter with a range of stakeholders, some of which you'll hear from on this podcast. Most importantly, we really centralised this impact project on co-developing with care experienced parents themselves. If you haven't already, please have a look at our website on the Exchange Wales page, where you can find details of the research, including Louise's book, which is free to download, as well as our ongoing work aimed at generating positive change. So this includes some summary films and a good practice charter, which we're then hoping corporate parents will commit to.
What we wanted to do in this podcast is to talk to some of our partners who've supported our work in this area. The people that we're going to speak to either have personal experience of this issue or have been involved in efforts to support young parents in a leaving care. So we're going to start by talking to representatives from Voices from Care, NIAS and TGP Cymru. We're going to talk about their work past and present in this area, and as each of these organisations has supported the development of the Good Practice Charter, we're going to ask them what they think about it and how they hope it will make a difference.
For the final part of the podcast, we're going to speak to two care experienced parents who have been involved in both the research and the development of the resources. We want to hear from them about why they've been involved in this work and what they hope will be different for future parents.
We're going to start by talking to Kristen and Emma Phipps-McGill from Voices from Care Cymru.
Yeah, thanks Louise. I'm Kristen, I'm the Innovation Manager at Voices from Care Cymru.
Hi Louise, I'm Emma Phipps-McGill and I'm the Wellbeing Manager and the Community Care Manager for Voices from Care Cymru.
Every presentation that I've ever done about my research into the issue of parents in and leaving care, one of the things that I always say at the outset is that the idea for the research didn't come from me, sat in my office thinking about what sort of idea would likely gain some research funding. But the idea for the research came from young people and professionals at Voices from Care Cymru. So I thought a really good place to start would be to invite Emma and Chris, to say a bit about that and to talk us through the early work, why this was an issue raised by Voices from Care, and how what the work that you were doing and how you responded at the time. So Chris, I know you were very much part of that work, so can we start with you please about that?
Yeah, no worries. So I think for us, as Louise said, this is a topic that is dear to everybody's hearts at Voices. And I think this is something that has grown over, I would probably say, around a decade of anecdotal experience from, and two people that absolutely deserve being mentioned here at Voices is Carol Flores, who was our advice and support manager, and Deborah Jones, the chief exec at Voices, both of which have been so passionate on this topic. And it was something that, from my point of view, came to my attention a lot through our advice and support work, is Carol directly hearing from parents how they were feeling this injustice, this fact that they were alone, they felt fear and discriminated against because they'd been in care and those judgments were being made about their parenting. So what we heard is these same things happening time and time again. One real common line that we kept hearing from people was around the concept of my past being used against me. And young people consistently saying that it wasn't my fault that I was in care, yet I'm the one who's being punished because of my care status. And, you know, Louise, you said it earlier on, is actually when you directly hear from the young people themselves, that's when it really, really hits home. And we kept hearing this time and time again, because naturally we all know when young people talk about things, they talk through, they blow away all of the bureaucracy, the professional language, and you get to the point. And the real point is how devastating this issue is for care experienced parents when they don't feel they have been given the chance to be parents and haven't been supported and therefore been failed by their own corporate parents.
What did come through from the research was that, you know, there were some concerning attitudes to care experienced parents. There were some assumptions being made about their parenting ability. There was an increased there was evidence of increased likelihood that parents would be referred to children's services, would be subject to a parenting assessment. You mentioned as well about judgments and judgments being sort of made based on access to sort of a wealth of historical information. We did have a snapshot, you know, in terms of outcomes and had some, you know, really concerning data regarding the amount of children who were separated from their parents. It was one in four. And an uncertain and undeveloped range of support services specifically targeted at care experienced parents. So, you know, when you talked about some of that early work and those early concerns in terms of injustice, discrimination, judgments and young people's past being used against them, those issues were very much confirmed within the research I did. Can you say a bit more, Chris, about why you wanted that research and why it's been helpful, if it's been helpful, or why it's been helpful to voices from Care Cymru?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, yes, it's important to take it from just a small scale anecdotal. I mean, I'm talking small scale, actually. These are still significant numbers, and actually the most important bits, these are individuals' lives. But what we really needed to get is, we're a small organisation, and we needed that much greater research and being able to use Cardiff University's research skills and Louise's research skills to work with more care experienced parents, and equally understand from a practitioner's point of view as well. Because we are firmly, Voices from Care is firmly on the side of young people. And sometimes we do need someone else to be that little bit objective. And that's why we were so pleased that actually the findings that, Louise, you've just said there, we weren't alone thinking this, that actually there was an issue. This wasn't just our paranoid selves thinking something was going on. There was. The attitudes were really poor.
One of the things that did come up from the research as well was that there is a broad consensus between practitioners that I've spoken to in the statutory sector, as well as practitioners in the third sector and young people themselves, that this is a really important issue. You know, I'm yet to meet anybody that has worked with young people who are care experienced who have said to me, "Oh, I'm not really sure why you're working on that." You know, everybody has consistently said, "Oh, this is a really important issue and we need to do better for our parents in a leaving care." So that is positive. And that leads me into the work that we've been doing recently in developing this good practice charter. We've done a lot of that work with young people connected at Voices from Care. And so maybe it would be good now to bring in Emma, because I know you've been leading a lot of this more recent work. So would you like to say a little bit about what that involves?
Yes, thank you, Louise. I think going back to what Chris was saying as well about the research, if you don't mind, I think it's for us within Voices, what it did, it widened the scope of those anecdotal sort of examples that we were having to actually unpick what really was going on for young parents who were care experienced. And what we were seeing was there was quite a lot more going on than we thought there was going on, you know? And I think for us, it's the research has given us that fundamental platform through the recommendations. And we're confident that the research was led by young people through their lived experience. So it really did give us the foundation to be able to set in place some work with our parents in taking things forward. I mean, first and foremost, you know, within Voices, what we have is our peer support group of parents. And our young people who attend there really tell us that this helps to reduce the isolation that they experience. When they first find out they're pregnant and they are care experienced, Chris has already alluded to the fact that there is this fear. Is what is going to happen to my child? You know, am I going to be judged? Is there a stigma? Are they going to be removed? So right from the start, they feel isolated. They feel they don't have anybody to turn to. Your research, you know, the research highlighted, Louise, that there is that lack of informal and formal support at these early stages. It's a lot of fundamental questioning, a lot of assessments that young people feel that they are going through on their own. The peer support groups that we've sort of built within Voices actually look to bring the lived experience of young people together, so they are drawing from support from each other. So they are educating themselves, they are talking, they are supporting each other, and they come together on a fortnightly basis. So within that group as well, what we actually look to do is influence change. Look at what is actually going on. You know, what are the key forms of issues? How can we work with professionals to really change things for our care experienced parents within the communities in which we work?
Massive thank you to both of you for joining me today. It's been really, really informative. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Louise.
So our next guest then is Helen Perry from NIAS Cymru.
My name's Helen Perry. I'm the service manager for Project Unity. My responsibility is to work in Project Unity throughout Wales, and we'll be talking about that as the time goes on.
Lovely. Thank you, Helen. Now, the reason that I wanted you to be part of this podcast is that I'd worked with NIAS Cymru throughout my research. Like Voices from Care Cymru, you've been a real part of my project. And your CEO, Sharon Lovell, was sort of part of a advisory board, you know, and I was sort of talking to Sharon and talking to NIAS about the emerging findings, which were confirming some of the issues that NIAS Cymru was seeing from your work with care experienced parents. And you've mentioned Project Unity because NIAS Cymru were really proactive in developing support for care experienced mothers and launched Project Unity. So it would be really good if you could talk to us about the service. Perhaps, you know, to start us off, give us a little bit of background to the development of Project Unity.
Project Unity actually came into existence in 2017 because it was originally funded under the tampon tax. But at that point, it was only covering parts of South Wales. And that restricted the amount of young women that we could work with. What NIAS had recognised is that care experienced pregnant and new mothers needed huge amounts of support, including advocacy, but trauma support and wraparound support to ensure that they could make their way through what is a whole host of issues when they become pregnant and they've been part of the care system. in 2020, the Welsh Government actually extended the and offered funding for Project Unity through the Sustainable Social Services Third Sector Grant. This particular project is the one when I came into working with Project Unity, and we work throughout Wales on 22 local authorities, which is a huge amount, huge area for us to cover. But what it does do is gives a fair opportunity for young women all over Wales. It also helps to look at what are the priorities in each local authority, what's going on for these young women in each local authority. And when we're working with these young women, it's actually looking at, are there common issues for them? Are there issues that they feel that they struggle to move forward? Many of them lose their babies to adoption. And what the aim of this project was to start to break the cycle of children being born to care-experienced young mothers entering the care system in Wales, and to provide person-centred intensive support. Now, that's where the difference is between what NIAS would have offered in the past, which would have been advocacy. This actually offers person-centred support, peer support, and opportunities for education and training to care-experienced mothers. It also gives them an opportunity to help them engage with services and offer their input into what they think needs to change. We actually help them to access practical and emotional support and start to learn new life skills with the aims of keeping them and their children together.
I mean, what you've just described, Helen, really fits with some of the findings from the research that I did, where mothers would often talk about wanting that, you know, flexible, tailored, individual support depending on their own circumstances. You know, very often the services and the support that was available, you know, wasn't able, for a variety of reasons, wasn't able to offer them that sort of flexible support. It was much more structured. And sometimes they felt obligated to, you know, join certain groups or engage in certain support, and they didn't really feel that they had that person there supporting them. They didn't really feel that they had choice in what they sort of could access or what they felt that they needed. And it sounds like Project Unity has really tried to move away from that and to change the approach with parents.
Totally. And I think one of the big things that it's added on to supporting these young women is that we are an independent service. We're independent from the local authority. There are other services out there that aim to provide support for young women, but very often they're linked in to the local authority, and therefore their hands are tied insofar as how they can provide that support and at one point, what point in that young woman's journey. And therefore, the young woman doesn't feel that her voice is being heard. And what we aim to do through Project Unity is to actually help them through the maze of issues. These young women, just like you said, they are in a situation where suddenly there's another life involved. So very often, especially with our young parents, we have young parents who are still actually on the child protection register themselves. They're actually, some of them, still in the care system living. And now on, straight away, there's another life that's having child protection conferences, that's going through all of that. And this young woman, who already is feeling very, very confused and baffled by the whole system, is actually feeling like, who can guide me through this? Because as you say, these young women have no or very little family support. And understanding a whole maze of situations and loads of meetings, when you think of a woman who is normally pregnant and the health appointments that she has to go to, but these young women are having to attend statutory service appointments for themselves, statutory service appointments for their babies, often parenting assessments, assessment with the hospital, And all of a sudden, they're under the microscope. What Project Unity has done is actually provide that one-to-one support to help them through that. But what we try and do when we're doing that is to actually empower these young women so that there comes to a point where that young woman feels that she has a voice, that she can speak up for herself, and that she can make changes to her life. So, yeah, I think Project Unity is making a huge difference to many of these young women's lives.
Yes, thanks so much, Helen. So if I could just maybe focus our conversation a little bit back to the development of the best practice charter that we've been doing at Cascade. So NIOS has been a great support in this, and actually you've been involved to help kind of create it and shape it along with some of the young women that are involved with Project Unity. So I just wondered if you could talk a little bit about your involvement and maybe how you think it could support and complement the work that you're doing.
What we did, when Rachel made us aware of the contract, we actually have something called a peer group cafe. The young women called it that. We asked them what they wanted to call their times getting together, and they said, well, a cafe. Because if we could get together physically, we'd be having a cup of coffee together. So we thought, yeah, let's go with that. And what we do at those cafes is we give the young women opportunity to spend some time thinking about themselves, having some me time. But we also use those cafes when things like this come up, when we want them to have an input into the kinds of things that maybe start to make a change for them. And we took the cafe, we took the charter to the cafe and sent it out to all the young women and asked them about their thoughts on it. And they were really optimistic because the idea of a charter that would be signed off by local authorities that actually implements the fact that they are the corporate parent. One of the things that our young women say is they sometimes think that local authorities forget they are their corporate parent, and they forget the fact that there is a responsibility. One of our young women said something very interesting when we were discussing the charter. She said, this will make a difference for the next generation. She said, what about the girls? And I thought this was really interesting. She said, what about the girls who actually are coming through the system at the moment, are 11 and 12, been living in foster care and don't understand what a healthy relationship looks like, don't understand how to access things that people living in normal families, normal was what the word she used, would be using. And they were really enthusiastic about this charter. Their only concern would be that all local authorities would sign up to it, because they do feel that in amongst them being pregnant, they get forgotten, and they do say that to us on a regular basis, and they do believe that this charter could make such a difference. So I just wanted to emphasize, Rachel, that it was the young women who really, really talked through this and how they were feeling about it and made any changes that we sent off to you. So they're really excited.
I just wanted to point out, actually, so you're talking about this peer group. But, I mean, peer support was one of the things that came up in Louise's research, but also something when we've spoken whilst developing this work, the idea of being able to talk to other people in similar situations. So I wonder if you could say a little bit more about how that's working and the kind of response you've had from the young women in that peer group that you've put together.
Yeah, it's been interesting because initially I think they were all a little bit concerned about what was this all about and what would happen in it. And obviously, because they haven't been able to meet physically lately, it's been quite difficult. But now we find that they come together, it gives them an opportunity to speak without being judged, because they can talk to each other, they can share experiences. But also, one of the things they've used the cafe for, which has been so exciting, they've said they want it not to talk about the things that are going on for them every day, but things that help them to develop themselves and to provide a better, healthy way of living. So we've done things like hand reflexology. One of them wanted a workshop on sleep because she wasn't sleeping very well. We've done workshops on how it feels when you're depressed. So they've talked about how that makes them feel, how difficult things are, not being able to talk to each other. The whole peer cafe has been really good. And there's no, we don't actually make any of the girls attend it. It's all on a want basis. So we'll send out the invitation to every single girl in Project Unity. And at the moment, we meet virtually. But the plan is, as from about October, we're going to start to have physical cafes. And we're hoping that those who maybe don't feel they can come on virtually at the moment will be able to meet with us physically.
Well, that sounds great. And it sounds like you've really created and fostered a really kind of positive environment for these women to come together when it's right for them. And lots of other opportunities have come from it. And just to say a massive thank you for your support to help us develop this charter, and from the young women particularly, they gave some really great feedback, and I hope that when they've looked at the final version that they can see their inputs. There's definitely a couple of lines directly from them as well in the charter, so thank you.
Thank you.
So our next guest then is Jackie Murphy from TGP Cymru. Good morning, Jackie. Would you like to introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yeah, hi, I'm Jackie Murphy and I am the CEO of TGP Cymru now. I've been with TGP Cymru for 20 years. I was there at the very beginning when we set it up in 2002 as the service manager, and I'm really proud to take over as the CEO, as I think our work is really important. Most people see us as an advocacy provider for looked after children. We do much more than that, but our origins were very much in the advocacy movement, and we've been on a long journey, but like I said, I started my career in residential work. I was a social worker for 20 years before that, working in child protection, adolescent work, youth justice, emergency duty out of hours. So it is amazing to see the research. It's so important, and you know, I've seen the history of it, you know, unfolding, and how we've got to this point, and why it's so important and why it's so needed.
You mentioned the research, Jackie, and along with voices from Care Cymru and NIAS Cymru, TGP and yourself, you know, you were part of the advisory board for the research. You supported the project for its, you know, its full duration. Do you want to say a little bit more about why you thought the issue of care experienced parents was so important, why you wanted to be involved?
As you're picking up issues, a lot of the issues for children and people are that they want contact, they're not happy with their placement, they're not happy with their education. We're able to advocate for them to stay with their foster carers and not be moved. And then and just then, by the nature of this work, we start picking up those young women that are pregnant and, you know, want to keep their children. And what we're beginning to realise is that the services aren't there to support them. And, you know, that's when, you know, Debbie from Voices from Care, the CEO, you know, felt that we really needed to do some research, because as advocacy providers, we were sitting with heads of children's service and saying we were coming across this as an issue. And they were saying, no, we provide plenty of services for looked after mums, and lots of looked after mums keep their children and there's not that much of a problem. So that's why then, you know, as advocacy providers, we were seeing this issue, and, you know, Debbie we campaigned Welsh Government to try and, you know, put some money up for research. And then that's when we met you, Louise, then. And I was just so excited about it, you know, and really felt very privileged to be involved in it. And absolutely kind of the moon when the research findings were found. I mean, a lot of the young people we work with, I think, took part in the research. But it's now that we've got tangible kind of evidence. And from the research as well has come the charter, which again, you know, if you haven't got guidelines for local authorities and service providers, you know, then you're relying on people's goodwill and awareness, and you know, it does need that kind of structural framework and that guidance.
I just want to pick up on that issue of support, and obviously when we were generating recommendations from the research with parents, advocacy came up frequently. From your perspective, you know, as you said, you TGP is the largest advocacy provider in Wales. Why do you think advocacy is helpful, and you know, what difference have you seen it make for care experienced parents?
I think the whole point of advocacy is that it's rights based, so it's based on the UNCRC, and we start from that point of these children and young people have a right to these services, and they have a right to be, you know, it's not you're doing this for them as a favour, you know, this is the right. You're the statutory provider. You need to provide these services. These children have a right to that. That's where it starts from. But also, it's child-led. So we start from the point of view of wishes and feelings with young people. And, you know, it's much easier for us than the social workers. We are not looking at, child protection. We're not looking at, you know, and I can't think of the term now, but we can just be wishes and feelings. Social workers have a huge pressure on them to make sure that the young person's protected, that child, unborn child or child is protected as well. But as advocates, we can work with the young people, and we've got no agenda other than that. And I think what they feel then is that we're on their side, that we listen to them. And, you know, best interest is what social workers come from. We are on their side, and we listen, and we don't give advice, but we can help and take the time to explain things in a way that they feel that we are not trying to persuade them to a course of action made. But also, it's the systemic advocacy. So, you know, it was as advocacy providers, Voices from Care, you know, NIAS, ourselves, other people that are working in this arena, other charities, were able to see this wasn't just an isolated incident, this was systemic, you know, and it wasn't due to individuals not being able to cope, it was due to a whole kind of systemic failure and being able to support them. So then we take those issues that we're seeing to Welsh Government, to the policymakers, and to the service providers, the local authorities, and say, you know, look, there's a different way of doing this, and long term it will be better for you because you'll have less children coming into care.
Great. I mean, you mentioned when we were talking about advocacy, and you mentioned young people feeling that they had somebody on their side. I can't emphasize enough the amount of times I heard that from young people, and how important that was, you know, to sort of feel that they had somebody that they could confide in, somebody who could help them articulate their wishes and feelings. So I just wanted to pick up on that.
Yeah, sometimes they say it was like a fairy godmother, you know, and that's a phrase I've heard, you know, it's a saviour. And it helps them turn their lives around sometimes and see things from a different perspective. They said it from that kind of fear and anxiety, you know, so... Yeah, very powerful. I mean, I'm very proud to run these services. I do think they are very powerful for young people and children.
I was just going to say, Jackie, I mean, you've already mentioned the charter a few times and hopefully what the guidance could set out. But at TGP, you've kind of supported the development of this. And now that it's finished, I just wondered if there was anything else you wanted to say about the difference that you hope it could make for care experienced parents.
I think always having a charter, a framework, something that everybody signed up to and agrees in the principles, you know, is extremely powerful. It's very tangible. It's something that everybody can work to. And, you know, I've seen research done before, and often nothing comes out of it. It goes away, it's put on a shelf. So I was really pleased that, you know, something came out of this that is... for us, it's going to be quite revolutionary, really, in a way, because although as advocates we would work from a rights perspective, it wasn't the way always other organisations work to. So I think it is extremely important, and it's something to build on and to take forward, because, as Louise said, the services are still pretty in, poor out there, and there are still far too many young women, we're talking about, you know, young care mothers losing their children. I know then Debbie felt very strongly, and I felt very strongly about dads, you know, about the young boys. And I do think that there needs to be some research done there. I think that's the next phase of this work, really, because they just lose kind of contact with their babies. And we know now, we're doing a lot more research about belonging and identity, and, you know, those babies need to know who their dads were, and they just think that their dads abandoned them. And often, you know, we've advocated for young men and tried to help them retain contact and some involvement in the lives of, you know, the babies, and it's much harder really than when you got, you know, the mum's got the baby in a physical connection. And I think the services are much more geared up, if not brilliantly geared up, you know, to recommend and support to support that bond in some way. So I think that's the next piece of work, really, is to look at as these young men, because it's tragic, you know, and they're heartbroken, and they want a connection with that child, they want to be good fathers, you know, and they just feel that they're not given that opportunity.
Thanks for taking the time today, Jackie, and thanks very much for your involvement in the Charter.
And for the last part of our podcast, you could say that we've left the best to last. So we've got a couple of members from the Voices from Care Peer Support Cafe that have supported us developing the Charter. So I'm just going to ask them to introduce themselves. So over to you.
Hi, my name is Jen. I got involved with the Charter after being involved with Dr. Louise Roberts' research and her book. And I just found that it was a nice end after seeing the outcomes of the research to make the positive steps that were needed, that were identified, so that better outcomes for parents and children in the future.
Hi, I'm Sid, I'm mum of two. I got involved with the Charter through the Peer Support Cafe that we took part in.
Could you talk a little bit about what you did for the Charter, like how that worked?
We basically just answered questions about our experiences and how we felt about our experiences and how we think the experiences could have been improved or changed.
Well, we did a couple of different sessions. I did some work with Louise. I had some conversations with the CEO of Voices from Care, Debbie. Took on my own personal experiences and other experiences that I've heard other young people talk about, and just things that I noticed, like, over time that needed to be changed from professionals and people working in the field.
But with the language, I just wanted everybody to be able to understand it, because not everybody is a professional, so they're not going to understand big long words. I mean, I get up in the morning and don't understand half the words that I know from 6 years ago, so it just, everyone needs to be able to understand it to be able to make a difference. And if you don't understand the language, then you're just going to be like, yeah, I have no clue, and you're going to pretend to listen and not really listen.
There's such a wide variety in people's experience and how they were treated and responded to, and what their needs were. And I suppose the challenge of the Charter is trying to capture, is trying to create something that captures all of that, you know, thinking through what would be helpful, what do we need for parents who need, you know, little support or no support, all the way through to parents who are likely to need a lot of support for a long time. Do either of you want to say anything about how we try to develop a charter that covers all of those different scenarios and situations?
It was bloody hard work.
It was.
You had to, like, try and find the points but present them as nicely as you could without being biased.
Absolutely.
Which is extremely difficult to do when not all of us have good experiences. I mean, some of us have good and bad, some of us have just good, and some of us just have bad. So it's like you've got to get it down the middle without trying to offend anyone.
I think, as I've discussed in like the peer group, peer research group, peer support group, is like the term, like, you takes a village to raise a child. Everyone's village is different, and everyone's background is different, everyone's upbringing is different. But also, one of the things that we haven't mentioned, a lot of, not all people go into care at the same time. Some people go and spend their life in care. Some people are teenagers when they go into care. And I've had a range of experiences then before they go into care. Everybody is an individual. And I think that's why, as well, the charter needed to look at it in different steps, because it's not all one meets all, and not a factory setting of this is how you go into the care system, this is how you become a parent, this is how you parent. Because also, everybody parents differently. There's no guidebook on how to be a parent. There's no guidebook on how to handle situations. Personally, I think, because it shouldn't be down to lack of if a judge is having a good day, or the judge likes you, that you get to be a parent, or that if the professional works with somebody and gels with somebody, that you get to be a parent and get supported. I myself is a parent of 5 children. I only actually actively parent 2 children, and my 2 older children, I have been adopted because I was in care and wasn't given a chance. And even though my corporate parents should have been corporate grandparents, I was left homeless. So the only option I had at the time was for my child to be adopted. And with my 5-year-old, I was again taken through the court proceedings, and during the court proceedings I was told, we'll see you back here soon. I've now actively parented that child for nearly 6 years, and this is where I think the changes need to be, because if I'd been given the support, I could have been a parent a long time ago. And I see a lot of young people not given the right support, because you don't always have to have a family. You build your own community, and we all have our own communities. The saying, it takes a village. We all use our different like support networks of villages, and we're not all, can't all do things straight away. We all need support, and that's why I think this is important, and to stop more children going into the system.
Great. What about you, Sid? Is there anything key about the section in the charter about when you are pregnant that's really important to highlight?
With me, it was a little bit different, because even though I was like pregnant and still homeless, the council did get on my case, and they did do it pretty quickly, and that was because I was a care leaver. So I'm not sure if it's just because of the time difference, and that somebody had been able to kick people's butts into gears, because we're only talking 3 years ago. So a lot of change from when Jen had her first to when I had my first. So that's a good sign, I suppose, but it's still not enough, which is what the charter is about.
This is why I love the voices that parenting virtual group, because we all, the ladies, we share little tips on this, or whether it's how to get staying out of like a uniform, or my child won't sleep, if there's no professionals around, what do I do? And I think that's why the group is so important, that it's set up, even though there are staff that can see like the messages, it's basically a bunch of at the moment it's only females, it is open to males. But that were just such a lovely bunch supporting each other, all of various different ages, all various different experiences. Because unfortunately, for a lot of mums, they are restrained to staff and office times if they need support off a social worker or an aftercare worker or a health visitor. Then a lot of these are office times. So if you've only got that support, where is, are these young people going to get support? So that's why the voices from care virtual group is very important. For me, it's also been a great support through the global pandemic that's been happening. The group ran through all that, and it was my source of seeing people, because I was self-isolating at home alone and I wasn't seeing anyone. And just being able to come on that group, have a little bit of human interaction, I think that helped keep me going. So a lot of these things that happen, so as no, like the charter is really, really important. It's really important that all the areas are covered, so that all the work and funding and everything can be put out there.
Well, during the pandemic, I went through pregnancy and you girls were there like all the time because I had a couple of scares as well. And obviously, everyone's kids are different ages. So my eldest is going through things that Jen's kids have already gone through. And I'm like, what do I do? Help me. Save me. So, yeah, I totally agree with that. And then obviously, we've not been able to see anybody. Zoom group was like the only thing that we could look forward to.
So I just want to say a big massive thank you to Jen and Sid. I am so grateful for all of your advice, input. You know, the charter wouldn't have been anywhere near what it is without your expertise. Rachel and I are thoroughly, thoroughly grateful. And at the time of recording, you know, I'm thrilled to say that we've been told the first local authority in England has signed up, and we hope there's going to be many more in the future. So thank you very much for your contribution.
I'm just looking forward to seeing many more local authorities signing up. I'm looking forward to the positive changes, not just for the generation to come, but the generation after that. I think the only thing that will come out of this is more positive, more families together, more support.
Yeah, I'm just looking forward to hopefully everybody being able to work together and coexist without fear. So the more boroughs